This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2021. I'm Father Alexis, and we are reading through the Scriptures each day of the year using the Orthodox Study Bible. Today is day 7 of our readings, and it's January 7. So today we'll be reading from Genesis chapter 7, Psalm 9 verses 1 through 17, Proverbs chapter 1 verses 30 through 35, and Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 through 18. Our Genesis reading will bring us to Noah and his family through the flood. It is read during the third week of Great Lent. If you remember, I mentioned that the Psalms are broken up into 20 kathisma. The first kathisma is Psalms 1 through 8. Today we begin with Psalm 9, the beginning of the second kathisma. The second kathisma is Psalms 9 through 16 and is prescribed to be read on Sunday mornings in the Matin service, although this is generally done only in monasteries. Another thing you should know, we are using the Orthodox Study Bible. The main thing about that is that the Old Testament of the Orthodox Study Bible is a translation from the Septuagint, which is the ancient Greek Old Testament. And why would we use that? Because the Septuagint was the Bible that Jesus and the apostles were using. Now, most Old Testaments in English are not translated from the Septuagint. They're oftentimes translated from the Hebrew Masoretic text, which came out much later. So we are using the Septuagint in the Orthodox Study Bible for the Old Testament. And if you are new, that means that there are a few extra Old Testament books than in the Masoretic text. And the Psalms are numbered a bit differently also. For instance, today with Psalm 9, a numerical divergence begins between the Septuagint and the Masoretic text. In the Septuagint, Psalms 9 and 10 are combined and are called Psalm 9. So beginning with Psalm 9, the numbering of the Psalms is different for a while in the Septuagint and Masoretic text. I'll be saying the numbering as we find it in the Septuagint and as we read it in the Orthodox Study Bible. And there are a couple other differences, but those are the main ones. I have found that the easiest way to follow is to have an Orthodox Study Bible with you and read along there. You can mark the different sections with sticky notes to make it easier, or you might have another way, and that's fine too. And by the way, our Proverbs reading that we hear today is also read in the first week of Great Lent. Now to the readings. Let's begin. Genesis chapter 7. Then the Lord God said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your family, because I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. You shall also bring with you into the ark the clean cattle by sevens, male and female, and the unclean cattle by twos, male and female, and the clean birds of heaven by twos, male and female, to keep seed alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the earth every living thing I made." So Noah did all the Lord God commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came on the earth. Then Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, entered the ark because of the flood waters. Also the clean and unclean birds, the clean and unclean cattle, and everything that creeps on the earth entered with Noah into the ark, two by two, male and female, as God commanded him. Then it came to pass, after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, On the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the floodgates of heaven were opened. Then it rained on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his wife, his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, entered the ark. Also, all the wild animals after their kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing moving upon the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, entered the ark with Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him. Then the Lord God shut him in the ark. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. So the waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward and covered all the high mountains. And all flesh died that moves on the earth, birds and cattle, wild animals, and every creeping thing that moves on the earth, and every man, thus all things in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and everything on dry land, died. So he blotted out all living things on the face of the earth, both man and cattle, creeping things, and the birds of heaven. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah and those with him in the ark remained alive. Now the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Psalm 9, verses 1 through 17. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wondrous things. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemy turns backward, they shall be feeble and perish before your face. For you maintain my judgment and my right. You sit upon the throne, judging in righteousness. You rebuke the nations, and the ungodly man destroys himself. You blotted out their name in their lifetime and unto ages of ages. The swords of the enemy are completely forsaken, and you pulled down their cities. Their memory was destroyed with a noise, but the Lord abides forever. He prepared his throne in judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall judge the peoples in uprightness. The Lord is also a refuge for the poor man, a helper in seasons of affliction. And let those who know your name put their hope in you, for you, O Lord, do not forsake those who seek you. Sing to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his dealings among the nations, for he who avenges blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the poor. Have mercy on me, O Lord, and see how my enemies have humbled me. You who raise me up from the gates of death, that I may proclaim all your praises. In the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations are trapped in the destruction they caused. Their foot is caught in the trap they hid. The Lord is known in the judgments he makes. The sinner is caught in the works of his hands. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. For it shall be, when you shall call upon me, I will not listen to you. Evil men will seek me, but not find me, for they hate wisdom, and choose not the fear of the Lord. Neither do they wish to follow my counsels, but despise my reproofs. Therefore they shall eat the fruits of their own way, and be filled with their own ungodliness. For since they wrong the simple, they shall be killed, and a close examination shall destroy the ungodly. But he who obeys me shall dwell in hope, and shall be at rest without fear from every evil. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18.
Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
As we continue this wonderful section, known as the Sermon on the Mount, we hear Jesus mention the three tenets of spiritual action and asceticism: prayer, fasting, and charitable deeds. Each one of these actions contribute to our fight against the passion of self-centeredness. The spiritual battle is fought with these three practices and are particularly emphasized during the Lenten periods. In the section on prayer that we read today, Jesus teaches us what we now call the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father. We pray it at every service and throughout the day. An ancient Christian writing, the Didache, advises us to pray this prayer three times a day. I'd like to read a section from the beginning of Father Alexander Schmemann's wonderful little book, Our Father, concerning the use of the word Father in the prayer. The first thing Christ offers to those who ask him to teach them to pray, the very first thing he leaves them as a priceless gift and consolation, as joy and inspiration, is the possibility of calling God Father, to regard him as their Father. Our Father. Here we find the meaning of love and the answer to love. Here lies the experience of intimacy and the joy of this experience. Here, faith opens into trust, and dependence yields to freedom, intimacy, and ultimately unfolds as joy. This is no longer an idea about God, but already knowledge of God. This is already communion with him in love, in unity, and trust. This is already the beginning of knowing eternity. For Christ himself said to the Father, for this is eternal life, that they would know you. This salutation is therefore not only the beginning, but the very foundation of the prayer. It renders all the other petitions possible and fills them with meaning. In its deepest and original sense, Christianity is the religion of fatherhood, which means that it is not founded on intellectual ideals or philosophical deductions, but on the experience of love which floods our whole life, on the experience of personal love. Think about this when we offer this prayer to the Lord, when we say it during the Divine Liturgy and at other times. When you say the word Father, realize how intense it is that we are addressing the Creator of all things in such an intimate way. Don't rush past the word without realizing it. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.